And you're listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. You're joined by myself, Lawson. We've got Big Joseph in the studio this morning. What can we call you? Big Joseph? Brazilian Joseph? Big Brazilian Joseph?
Yeah, whatever you call me,
I found out the other day that Brazil has more landmass than Australia. Did you know that?
Yes.
I was so surprised.
Because Australia is so big, you think that nothing could be bigger than Brazil, it's bigger. But not by far.
Yeah.
Not by much.
It's very similar.
Yeah.
But I think is more of Brazil occupied? Because the problem with Australia is it's like a population donut, right? It's like everyone lives on the coast, on the outside. No one lives in the middle. What is Brazil like?
Now, Brazil is about 10 times more populated than Australia.
Yeah.
So about 200 and something million people.
Sure.
Compared to 20 million something here.
Yeah.
And we don't have a big desert. It's, you know, we have a lot of all kinds of jungles and so on. So do you have an idea? I like birds.
Yeah.
Bird watching. In Australia, we have about 900 different species of birds.
Yeah.
In Brazil, we would have over 2,300 species of birds. Okay. So that reflects of the biodiversity.
Yeah. Of course, Australia is like as a very unique, you know, bio, you know, our ecosystem and whatnot. But yeah, it's not as diverse. That's incredible. Hey, you're listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. There's a couple things we need to do. The first of which is to get into our next quiz question. So if you can give that for us, Joseph.
Yes.
Before you do that, tell everybody we're going to be giving out a recipe. So get your pen and paper ready.
Yeah.
After the quiz, we're going to have a recipe for you because we've got too many requests to just send them out. So we'll do it on air.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So we'll do that quiz question first and then get into some hummus. So yeah, give that for us.
Okay, cool. So what is the eighth commandment? If you know the eighth commandment, you write it. What is it? You write your answer to 0491-064-669. So the question is, again, what is the eighth commandment of the 10 commandments that God gave?
There's 10 of them. What's 8 out of 10? If you know the answer to that one, 0491-064-669. And if you answer that correctly, man, this prize might be a steal for you because you'll be put into the draw and be able to win God Cares, the 2-volume set, Daniel and Revelation. Incredible books, incredible commentaries on the book of, well, these books of Daniel and Revelation, revealing history, revealing prophecy, and pointing us to a Christ, a Redeemer, a Messiah who was given everything for us and has laid our future out for us as well.
Speaking of those books being a steal, I would like everyone steal my recipe for hummus. All right. So everybody asked, I do hummus by heart, right? So I won't give you the exact measurements, but I will give you exactly what I do and then you try it yourself. So number one, get one can of chickpeas.
Okay.
Right? You drain them, you wash them, and you put them on your blender. Then what you do, you add one generous tablespoon of tahini sauce.
Yes.
Right? One generous tablespoon. Then what you do, you put about 2 tablespoons of olive oil. You add, then that's the secret. So the hummus, to be nice, it has to be a bit lemony.
Okay.
So you cannot afford hummus without a lemon. So you add a nice big bucket of lemon. So one... Yeah, you know these lemons, these yellow lemons.
Yeah.
Or you can use lime as well. You just give like one entire lemon and you squeeze it nice. Yes.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Into it. And then a bit of salt and pepper. If you like garlic, I prefer mine without garlic. You can add a clove of garlic. I usually do mine without. And then you blend, and then that's the trick. You watch for the consistency as you blend and you add the cold water. So you want your hummus to be slightly runny.
Okay.
And then you finish and you see, and then you try it. And then if you need more lemon, you add more lemon. If you need a bit more salt, you add more salt. But that's the basic recipe. I have 2 kids. I say that my kids are powered by hummus.
Yeah.
They are healthy. They grow up, but they eat lots of hummus. They love it. So cook it for your kids. If you have kids in your family, cook it for yourself. It's a great snack.
So healthy.
For whenever you're hungry, just grab a little piece of bread or something. And just dip in that hummus. It's healthy. Yeah. It's good for you. All of the proteins that you need. And now, if you want to try a really, really good hummus, you have to come to Food Pharmacy. So if you're in the Newcastle region, come to Food Pharmacy.
Shout out Food Pharmacy.
52 Otter Street.
Yeah.
Is the healthiest and tastiest restaurant you're probably have in this area, and they do this hummus that whose recipe has been supervised by me personally.
Yeah. So if you want the SCAF hummus,
if you
want
to try what a good hummus is, you can go to Food Pharmacy in Cardiff, located at Attune Health Clinics, 52 Adder Street, and you try the hummus. You can tell them that Joseph sent you there, and they're gonna treat you really well there. Dude. All right. Let's stop talking about, you know, hummus and let's talk about spiritual food now.
Okay. But I got to say, man, probably one of my favorite breakfasts. You get a rice cracker, chuck some fantastic hummus on it, a big slice of tomato on top, salt and pepper. Oh, just like, just the best. Like, I am a huge fan of hummus. I'm right there with you. Hey, we've also got a text message in from Michael. He wrote in, good morning. Just a short message to say that I and my housemate, Christine's, were baptized at Jetty Beach, Coffs Harbour by our pastor Ben and Lyle Southwell. What an honour and a great time and a blessing to be received into God's church and our local SDA church. Your program helped us in this decision that needed to be made. All the best, brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, that is fantastic news. Obviously, Lyle Southwell, former host here on the Faith FM Breakfast Show, a kind of overseer and boss now, but going around doing just fantastic programs. They were just up in Coffs Harbour where Michael was, where, yeah, he was able to receive the message of Christ and has now become a brother in Christ and their housemate as well, Christine. So really, really fantastic stuff. They're amazing to see God working in these different areas.
A shout out to you, Michael and Christine. We're so glad. I believe that accepting Jesus into our lives as a savior is the number one most important decision that a human being can ever make. So a shout out to you. Shout out to Pastor Ben and Lyle as well. You know, if you're listening to us and you are considering and God has been placing in your heart to be baptized, why don't you send us a message here saying baptized? Maybe if you have questions about it or you're not too sure, send us a message. And we'd love to journey with you, but I can guarantee that this is the number one best decision a human being on this planet can make. Hands down.
Absolutely. Maybe have questions regarding the Bible, regarding faith. You know, you feel the conviction, the compulsion, like, I want to do this, but how can I? Well, we've got all kinds of resources, people that you can connect with as well to be able to go on that journey. And I think I actually really love today's topic of the Bible study because it's a bit of a throwback to me. You know, some of the questions asked and posed here is a bit of a throwback to me to the beginning of my Christian journey and baptism and whatnot. Because today we're talking about, well, the overarching topic for this week, worship that never ends, reflecting that in the psalm, which, you know, I think no better place ultimately. The psalms full of songs and spiritual meditations, very much, you know, I think very much acts of worship or very reflective of what we consider in our modern day to be worship, whether it's singing, it's spending time with one another, you know, in God's word and whatnot. Like the Psalms are just key on those very points. And so, yeah, we have some amazing Psalms to go through, some amazing, questions to consider and ask and answer. But again, getting into, you know, first becoming a Christian for me, I remember I grew up going to a Catholic primary school and then would, you know, and then a Christian, you know, kind of Protestant Baptist high school. And during that time, you know, in those places, I participated in some interesting kinds of worship. I know in my Catholic primary school, it was like singing hymns from the pews, the organ playing and whatnot. Then going to like a Protestant Baptist high school, it was then the chapel band would play and we would sing along. And I remember being able to get some days off school by saying, yeah, I really want to go to, they would do like school. It would be like throughout a day, it would be like school worship thingies that would happen like once a term or once a semester. And I'm like, yeah, I really want to go, even though I wasn't Christian because I was just like wanted to get the day off school. But then it was, you know, the worship band and whatnot. But the idea of worship at that time was a little bit novel to me. Like I kind of liked the music and singing along. I thought the hymns were a bit interesting. I remember there was one particular girl in my class who would sing really loudly and would kind of cover all of our voices. Shout out Alex. I don't know if you're listening to the Breakfast Show this morning. I haven't seen you in like 15 years. But yeah, I remember just like, you know, I always had this interesting relationship with worship as a non-Christian because I was kind of surrounded by it or something I was doing all the time. But, you know, in terms of the worship service and singing and whatnot, it wasn't something that I necessarily had my heart in, up until I became a Christian, you know, and all of a sudden this practice that I thought was, you know, quite interesting, a bit strange, something that I wasn't really into, all of a sudden became like a great love of my life. And now I often find myself worship leading and playing instruments and whatnot. That came from worshiping.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491 064 669.
And I remember actually early days sitting in your living room, Joseph, your wife Camilla, playing the piano. I think there would have been, you know, 10, 9, 10, 11, 12 of us sitting in a circle singing some spiritual songs on a Sabbath morning, getting into to worship, opening our hearts up to God. Like, this was my first kind of interaction with worship at the time in which I said, okay, this is something that I want to do. And then now considering, you know, what the Bible says about this, how, you know, how it is we are to worship, how it is we are to live out a life of worship and, but also, you know, that practice of singing, of worshiping and whatnot. We're going to get into it this week. What is your reflection on that? What has been your experience, you know, regarding worship, regarding, that interaction with God in that space?
Yeah, that's great, question, Lawson. A lot of the times when we, you know, I have a few reflections. We think of worship, we are primarily thinking about singing to God or going to church. But the word for worship, both in Greek and in Hebrew, is quite different from what we are used to.
Yeah,
so in Hebrew, the word for worship is hava, and that means to bow down.
Okay.
So it implies to worship God is to surrender to Him, is to serve Him, is to respect Him. Mm. Now, praising God or singing to God is included in that concept, yes, but it's part of a lifestyle and attitude.
I love that.
Where you honor God as a creator.
Mm.
Same thing in Greek, proskuneo.
Mm.
The same thing, to bow down, to prostrate oneself, to surrender. That is worship. So number one thing. Number two thing is a lot of people always ask, you know, why does God ask us to worship Him? We're going to look into that, you know.
Psalm
134. And a lot of people ask, you know, does God have some kind of a self-esteem issue that He wants us to, you know, worship Him? Like, you don't go out in the street and ask people to worship you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even though human beings, they do tend to like being worshipped, you know, vis-a-vis the, you know, Hollywood stars and so on. And,
yeah,
being, you know, or who doesn't want to be famous or
political
rich,
dictators or yeah, you know, whatever it may be. Yeah.
So we're going to look into that. I'm going to help you to navigate. I want to share with you some of my thoughts on that question, because
yeah,
maybe this
absolutely
is a question that you have asked yourself or
yeah,
or someone that you know ask. But let's read in Psalm 134 before we get back to that.
Yeah.
Because that's our main passage.
Awesome. Hey, Psalm 134, the Bible says this, starting in verse 1. It says, "Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth. Bless you from Zion."
So Psalm 134 is a song that is inviting us to bless the Lord. And that gives us back to why do we praise the Lord? Why do we worship? Well, C.S. Lewis said something very interesting. He says that true enjoyment is not complete without praise. Let's start with that.
Oh.
So let me give you a practical example. Mm-hmm. Let's say that you went to a beautiful place, a cabin in the woods, overseeing this amazing mountain. Your joy will not be complete unless you come and you talk to your friend, your family, your spouse, someone that you love, and say, "Wow, that was amazing." This is why we take pictures. This is why we want to tell them. Because in praising that which is beautiful, it completes our joy. For those of you who are parents, you know, you know how awesome it is when your kid does something nice and you're telling someone about that.
For those who are married as well, you know,
those who are married,
I can imagine
you're dating now. Lawson. So, ladies that are listening, Lawson is off the market. I am sad. I'm sorry to say that. But Lawson, isn't great when you say, "No, isn't she lovely?" That's that song. Yeah. Isn't she lovely?
Yeah.
So, it's part of nature. So, but what is the most awesome being in the universe?
It's God.
It's God. So, when we look and we behold His beauty and His righteousness, and we see how strong He is, how just He is, how loving He is, it's only natural that we want to express that through song, through praise, and saying, "Wow, God is awesome." Because otherwise, our joy would not be complete. If we just behold, if you look at something wonderful and marvelous, and we don't say anything about it. So that's one element of it.
But I love that you've made a differentiation there about, hey, praise and singing praises and whatnot is a part of worship, but it's not its totality, right? You know, worship isn't found entirely in that, because God is asking us for something more, something that we don't give to our kids, our spouse, a beautiful location that we should. That we saw, you know, more than just the praise of our lips, but rather, you know, our entire being in submitting to Him, you know, prostrating and whatnot. It brings to mind the passage, one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I would say actually my favorite passage in the entire Bible, and I've said this on the show before, Revelation 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. So God, you are worthy of praise. God, you are worthy of worship. Why? Because you created all things, and by your will they existed and created. People are worthy of praise when they do praiseworthy things, and even when they don't. You know, I think it's very good when you fail or struggle at something, if someone can encourage yes. you in that and say, hey, but Lawson, like, you're great, or Joseph, you're, yeah. you know, it's okay, like, you'll do better next time. Like, we really appreciate that. But God is worthy of more than praise. God is worthy of worship because of who He is, His identity as our creator, and furthermore, as the only one who can do so. Like, that is His credentials for worship. That is why He over your spouse, your kids, and even, you know, over Satan as well, why He deserves worship.
Yeah. And not only that, you know, we serve God because God first served us.
Yeah. Wow.
It's just a natural response. Mm. You know, we often talk about, you know, how people, we need to respect people. Do you agree with that, Lawson?
I wholeheartedly agree.
We need to respect, people need respect. Everyone, irrespective of their choices, of their lifestyle, of how they, people deserve to be respected. It doesn't matter who you are. You want to be respected. We also need to respect others. So that's, I think that most people would agree with that. But why don't people respect the creator? Isn't he a person? So he also needs respect. But what kind of respect? Well, he deserves respect, not only because he's a person, but because he's the one who created reality. He created this world. He created us. He gave us the very breath that some people use to curse him. And the thing is, God, so to respect God, to worship Him, is number one, tells about who you are. It's fitting. It's the right thing to do. But not only that, God just happens to be a good God that He doesn't demand that. Because if you, for example, if you go to the United States and you spit on the president's face while he was running, I don't want to know what's going to happen
done.
To you.
You are done.
You're done. Yeah. You're going to be in Guantanamo Bay for a long time.
Yeah.
However, that does not happen when we do this with God. Because God only wants and He expects worship that is from the heart, that is given by love. And this is the kind of God that He is. He's not forcing anyone to serve Him, to worship Him, to bow down to Him, to respect Him. But at the same time, as a father, as the creator, He teaches us what is right, what is good, and to honor God, honor the creator. Even if you were an atheist, you should honor and respect the creator, because He would, you know, well, there's at least a chance that He would be the one responsible for you having a life and you having the possibility and the capacity to be happy.
I think you've brought up an interesting thing there from, you know, an atheistic perspective. I think, like, from an atheist perspective, that question of, like, oh, is God so narcissistic that he needs my worship and He needs my praise. And without that I'd be lost. The Bible says this in Psalm 36, 1 and 2. It says, an oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before His eyes, for He flatters Himself in His own eyes when He finds out His iniquity and when He hates. So we see here that those who are quote-unquote wicked, or a test of wickedness, is their inability to truly worship God or to truly praise God. I think, you know, there can be flattery. I think someone can pose as righteous but be wicked, and there can be, you know, lip service or flattery, but to truly worship God, to lay down their life before God, like, they are immune and unable from doing this. And this is a reflection of their wickedness, is they're not able to do this. And from an atheistic perspective, it's like, oh, why would I be lost for not worshiping God? You know, why would I be removed from God by not worshiping? What has God done for me? And this is just the very the very fact, the very nature of it is that God has done so much. Like, he has created you, he's redeemed you. The worship of God, you know, the submitting of your life to him, and this is very key, it's not just praise, but the submitting of your life to him is inherent to life itself because of who he is, like, as your creator. Because the worship of God and the submitting of your life to him is the commitment to saying, like, I want to live within his will, which is to be a benefit and a blessing to all other people. That worship of God is needed to continue to live, to be a blessing to others.
We become what we worship. We become like what we worship.
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Let's get into our final quiz question for today, please, Joseph.
Lawson, in 1 Kings 18, upon which mountain did God send fire from heaven?
Ooh, a place where there was some worship taking place.
Yes,
actually.
That's pretty interesting. There was a scene, a Hollywood-worthy scene where fire is coming down upon a certain mountain in the Old Testament. 1 Kings 18, what is the name of that mountain? If you know, please do send us a message to 0491-064-669. Upon which mountain did God send fire from heaven?
And of course, we've got God Cares, the two-volume set with Daniel and Revelation there. Amazing commentaries getting into these books and reflecting how these books show us that God cares, which is interesting, right? If when people usually think about Daniel and Revelation, they don't read those and immediately say, God cares. I think usually it's some other books that they would pick. But really, when we consider that God cares for us so much, that he has laid out the future before his prophets, and then we can look and see, wow, God got all these things correct. But then furthermore, he is still giving us, you know, more insight into the future, in what it look like, what it looks like to worship him, and what we should watch out for. Like, God cares.
Like, when you're studying the Bible like that, Lawson, you are automatically worshiping God. When you're studying the Bible with an open heart, willing to be transformed and changed, you're worshiping God. And I'll tell you why. I'm from Brazil.
Okay.
Brazil have a national sport called soccer or football.
Football, yeah. Right?
And people worship the athletes,
yeah,
the players. And it's very interesting because, for example, I'll give you an example. Neymar.
Neymar, yeah.
He's an absolute genius of the cause.
Mm-hmm.
And you would see whenever Neymar comes up with a new hairstyle, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of kids absolutely imitate his style. You walk in the street, everybody is using the same hairstyle, the same hair colors as Neymar is. They have his poster in their bedroom. They talk like Neymar. They play like Neymar. They want to be like him. And this is the essence of worship. Whatever we spend time with, we start to become more like that person. So when God asks us to worship him, it's because he wants us to become more like him, to become more kind, more patient, more loving, more wise. So this is why when God asks us to worship, it's not because it's good for him. God does not have a self-esteem issue. However, it's good for us. When it comes to him, we are beholding the very source of truth, of love, of beauty. And by doing so, we just so happened to be transformed, unbeknownst to us, but over time, just like growing up. You know, when you look at a kid 2 days in a row, we don't really see them growing. However, before you notice, they're bigger than you. And this is how it works with God. We are transformed imperceptibly, but from the Bible says, from glory to glory.
Yeah.
From beholding God's beauty to beholding God's beauty. So do read that book or any book, but that book, God Cares, two-volume set, it's going to help you in that journey of becoming more and more like God in character, in beauty.
Absolutely. And actually, it's leading me back to one of our key psalms, one of our key passages for this week, Psalm 104, verse 33. And reading verse 33 and 34, where the Bible says, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I'll be glad in the Lord. And so obviously from the psalmist's perspective here, you know, they're writing, hey, like, I, you know, may my meditation be sweet. May my song be good. May it be powerful. But I really love that line there, as long as I live.
Yeah.
I think the psalmist recognizes that, like, there's nothing that the psalmist can do in terms of worshiping God for all his life that will necessarily like change or benefit or, you know, bless God in terms of like what can God receive from us that he doesn't already have, you know, other than us himself. But I think more so for the psalmist recognizing like the benefit that it is to him to be able to sing praises to God. Now, God wants us. Like, this is, God is very actually benefited by our salvation. That's because he loves us and he cares for us and he wants to see us saved. I'm more talking so in a practical sense. Like, there's nothing that, you know, although the compliments of people might be a blessing and a benefit to your mental health right now, like, God isn't affected in the same way. God wants to see you saved because he loves you and he cares for you. But also, God knows the blessing that it will be to you. And the psalmist recognizes this himself. Like, God, may I worship you as long as I live. Not only to be a benefit and a blessing to himself, but a benefit and a blessing to others as well. Yeah. Like the worship of God is, you know, and I think true worship of God, true submitting to God, reflects a beautiful picture of God to all people around
Absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. You know, Lawson, if I can piggyback on what you just said, I will worship God as long as I live. This is not a religious kind of mandate or a rule in a checklist to follow, a duty as an obligation. Oh, God, I will sing as a, this is what you want. Okay, I'll do that. No, it's a spontaneous reaction of beholding. And this is the thing. When even, remember that example that I gave you when we are seeing an amazing landscape, an amazing mountain that takes your breath out? Even that grows old, Lawson. At some point, you won't be staring at that mountain for this with the same intensity of the same time. It grows old. God, however, he is of infinite beauty, of infinite wisdom. So that means that even throughout eternity, every time we behold him or the works of his hands or the thing that he has done, we will constantly marvel. Every day will never get old. And the natural reaction of that is to explode in praises. So even if this, I believe, serves as a diagnostic tool to your faith, do you have a kind of a faith where you automatically and spontaneously break out in praising, saying, wow, God, you are amazing? Because let me tell you, if not, I believe that there might be something wrong with your faith.
Yeah.
In that, you know, God wants us to have this experience of a never-ending awe that leads to worship. So if you lost that component of discovering God's beauty in his words, in the nature that he has created, in the way that he has leading your life, I want to encourage you to pray and say, God, help me. I want to behold your glory. I want to see your works today. I want to lose my breath by seeing the amazing things that you have that you are doing. And the Bible is an amazing instrument of that together with nature. But by beholding and by applying our minds to understand this, and, you know, I often, when I'm studying the Bible, say, God, I won't stop here until I can actually have a wow moment. And God delivers every time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's just simply the case that God is so infinitely beautiful because of how infinitely dynamic he is in the way that, like, he interacts with you and the way that he blesses and leads you and the things that he can bring up in your life. You know, that's the way that we interact with him now. We don't see, as the Bible says, we don't see God face to face. We see, as the Bible says, dimly through a mirror, you know, as 1 Corinthians 13 puts it. And so now, like, but despite this, we can see the beauty of God, the dynamic, amazing, incredible beauty. And yeah, I loved you brought up there like the mountain, right? Because the reality is that the mountain is limited in what it can do, it can provide in the way that it can woo you. Same as people, you know, when like if you, I'm sure Joseph, you can attest to this situation. You're married with kids and it was like, you know, when you first met Camilla and he was like, oh wow, really cool. And then as you started to spend time with her more and more, it's like you find out more amazing things about this person that you're interested in. And then that's evolved and, you know, dynamically involved, especially as you've got married and had kids and done life together. It's like you see more and more of that person and it more and more impresses you. And there's more and more reasons to love them and to like them and whatnot. But even people are limited and have their faults as well because we're all sinners. Like there is a point in which like there's no more to see. There's no more to learn. Even though a person is so dynamic, God is not the case.
Absolutely.
God is not so. He is infinitely dynamic and he loves you. He wants.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
we are going to get into some answers for the quiz right now. All we've done is given question. Now, hey, let's give some answers.
All right. Well, Eutychus fell out of a window and died during what event, Lawson?
It was a sermon. When I first read this story, I laughed so hard. I was like, is this in the Bible? Like, I thought it was funny, even though it's like quite tragic, but it has a good ending. You know, of course, Eutychus, Paul is just basically, this is the setup for the story. Paul is preaching so long that people are falling asleep, which haven't we all been there? You know, maybe whether it's in church or a devotion or whatever, it's like, you know, especially he's preaching into the night, the Bible says. So like he
threw an all-nighter sermon.
That's right.
But then he was able to bring the boy back to
life. That's right.
So Eutychus, you know, the good faith.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good fate.
So yeah, he falls asleep, falls out the window, yeah, comes back to life. It's an amazing miracle.
By the way, I just had a message here from Wayne. Mm. Wayne says, good morning, blessings, Joseph. Brother, to make your awesome hummus even better, soak fresh chickpeas overnight. Mm. Preparation, put hummus, garlic through a mincer that keeps the texture the same every time. You know what? Wayne, you are very right. That the way when I do my hummus, I actually soak the chickpeas overnight and I cook them in a pressure cook. So if you don't mind going through that extra, it does make it better. Whoa, for sure. Okay. And you cook until the chickpeas are nice and soft. So thanks for that, Wayne. It will indeed make your recipe even better. But if you're running out of time, it's okay to use from the can as well.
Just wash it.
I think that, you know, every hummus deserves as much love as you can give it. It will, you know, if you love your food will love you back.
Yeah, absolutely. Like children. Hey, let's get our next question here. Which of the following was not a part of the outfits of the priest? Was it the ephod, the turban, the breastplate, or the gloves?
The right answer is D, gloves. Mm. So gloves were not part of the uniform of the priests in the sanctuary service.
Which is kind of gross because they were dealing with lots of blood and whatnot. But if anything, it was just an illustration to them of the... Yeah.
It's not gross because they didn't have disposable gloves at that time, Lawson. Just for the record. They haven't invented plastic yet.
Oh, hand sanitizer.
But this is why they actually had a laver outside so that they could actually wash their hands. Because if you're dealing with if they had some kind of a leather gloves, imagine they would be absolutely filthy.
Yeah.
After a while. Okay. So there is some reason.
Ah, okay. I'm feeling it now. Thank you for giving me some insight into BC, health and hygiene. That's very smart. Yeah. No, it's good system. Hey, next one here. Fill in the blanks. Psalm 46 in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in
trouble.
Trouble. Amen. Trouble. Yeah, we've been seeing that throughout the Psalms, throughout our study of the Psalms.
Yeah. And now this is Psalm 46. And one of the things that I love about Psalm 46 is that it says, even though the earth may be shaking, even though everything might be going wrong, God is still in control. God will still bless us and we will have peace in the midst of all of that. So the Bible is the only thing that is actually promising you a kind of peace that is absolutely unrelated to the external events happening in your life. We can have that peace from God, knowing that God is looking after us, knowing that His name will be glorified. Whatever, doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. So Psalm 61, this is why God is a very present help in trouble.
Yeah, that is actually such a powerful insight because I think often, you know, a psychologist or psychiatrist, their advice is, hey, change your environment up if you're stressing out. But hey, what it's saying here is you were able to have peace and get through anything with God's help. The next one here, what is the eighth commandment? It's thou shalt not steal. Simple as that. And then finally here in 1 Kings 18, upon which mountain did God send fire from heaven? It was Mount Carmel. Not Mount Caramel. I remember the first time reading it, I was like, Mount Caramel? Is that where it... No, it's Mount Carmel, where the epic showdown would take place between Elijah and the priests of Baal, and it would become very clear that God would reign supreme. He is the one true God who really has power. He's not away sleeping. He's not away relieving himself. No, he is very present. You are listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. Having some headphone troubles, my good friend Joseph. Yeah, you'll work it out. You'll work it out, buddy. We all go through it. Hey, we've come to the end of the show. And we've just got to say, hey, thank you for joining us. Of course, this isn't the end of Faith FM or the broadcast. Or, you know, we have amazing programming coming up after this. You'll have to stay tuned too. But, man, big things coming up today, maybe for you. You've got work to do. I know I've got work to do. I got a Greek class like right after this. So I got to run up to. But hey, as usual, we get to the end of the show and we give away something absolutely for free. I want to ask you a question, Joseph. How important is physical health?
I think it's absolutely important. We cannot serve well if we are not well ourselves.
Absolutely. I've got a book here. It's called Fabulous Health, Made Simple by Steve Wahlberg. We want to give that one to you absolutely for free. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to answer any questions. There is one thing you need to do. Actually, I lied to you. You need to give us a call at 0491-064-669, or should I say a text. And the first person to text through the word health at 0491-064-669 will receive this book for free, Fabulous Health Made Simple by Steve Wahlberg. Again, it will be a blessing to you. You'll learn how to be healthy, how to make healthy lifestyle choices and habits and whatnot to enable you to, hey, not only be healthier physically, but mentally and spiritually as well. Thank you for joining us. We have, you know, things to do, but stay tuned to Faith FM throughout this day and remember to talk faith, to live faith and act faith, and you'll grow strong in Jesus Christ.
God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels, God uphold you. With the sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Until we meet again at Jesus' feet again. God be with you till we meet again.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.